Zorn, Zorn, the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
I went to church yesterday, and I'm pretty sure this was sung at the 6 o'clock mass yesterday.
The Zorn song.
Oops, sorry, go ahead.
It is a sacred tune.
It is.
Yeah,
so. It's been around since biblical times. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune wearing a very controversial cap.
Yes, I'm wearing my Michigan cap today.
You're going against the grain of many people in the city right now.
Well, part of this backstory is that Steve Chapman, the editorial columnist mm-hmm. upstairs, and he and I have had a bet on Friday about the Texas. He's a Texas A&M guy. He's from Texas. And he backed them. So we bet that we would wear the other's gear on Monday.
Call me by your team.
Yeah, so I would be here in a Texas A&M cap if Michigan hadn't completely clobbered Texas A&M. But of course, now Michigan faces Loyola, and everybody in town is rooting for Loyola because it's such a great story with Sister Jean and the Cinderella team.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want to kill Cinderella. I'm sorry.
You're a contrarian.
I want Sister Jean to cry herself to sleep.
She's a friend of the show. You can't do this.
She's a lovely woman, I'm sure, but her time has come.
Oh, Eric.
Eric is no longer a friend of the show. How about that?
The Loyola story is incredible. That team has just got heart and talent. It's a wonderful story. But
they seem like a nice bunch of guys.
They've been rooting for Michigan for like 50 years, so it's, you know.
Would you agree with me, if you watch basketball with any regularity, passing is a big part of the game, but these guys are the best passers I've ever seen in basketball. They're just amazing.
Well, they move the ball really well, and then they get these open looks and they hit them. They're knocking them down. And I thought they were going to really be in trouble, on Friday night. And
did you?
They've been playing, every team they've played has been higher seeded than
right.
them. And so they've been knocking them down. It's impressive. It's a really fun team to watch. And they came kind of out of nowhere. I mean, I know if you really pay attention to college basketball, they were doing well in whatever the Missouri Conference or something like that.
Missouri.
Missouri Valley, isn't it?
Is it Missouri Valley? Maybe it is. But it seems like whatever conference they're in, you go, but the conference should be named after us. We're Chicago. We're bigger than some valley somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The Des Plaines Valley.
Yeah, that's what you want to name.
But, you know, when you think of Chicago area college basketball, you know, you kind of think of DePaul, which hasn't been good in 40 years.
Or Northwestern.
Or Northwestern.
Right.
Which was good last year, and they didn't do anything this year. But Loyola, which they won the national championship in 1963, I want to say.
It was a very good year.
We
were born.
Yes.
But since then, they really have not. They've been way off the radar. I mean, they've been in the tournament a couple times, but they're not in the conversation usually. So it's really cool.
When it was first announced that they made the 64, everyone's like, wow, they won't go very far. But just to be in it,
They had to win the tournament to get in. They were one of the teams that played in, and I'm not sure they would have made the top 64.
Probably not
if they hadn't won the tournament.
Right.
When these small colleges, these Cinderella stories, they're great for the tournament. Well, what an incredible sporting event it is.
Because everybody whose team is already out of it, all of a sudden you want the underdog to win. It's human nature.
So you have a new interest now that your team's out?
That's true.
The entire country is going to be rooting against Michigan, except for those of us who went there. So.
But they're selling all those scarves like crazy. You can't keep those in stock. Everybody wants that scarf that makes you look like a Harry Potter character.
Look at the colors.
Well, just the look of it. You look like you're, you know, at Hogwarts when you wear that.
Yeah, John Williams have posted some little video online with his staff. They're all doing the shimmy and playing with a scarf and stuff.
Yep.
I got to wear this hat to the podcast later this week. It's going to be it's going to be ugly.
I'm going to wear
this cap around. So
Wendy and I started the show by talking about Stormy Daniels' appearance on 60 Minutes with Anderson Cooper yesterday. I'm sure you'd like to weigh in on what you saw. What do you think?
I do, you know, and I waited for it eagerly. I usually don't watch that show live. I'll wait and watch on the DVR. And the analogy that some people came up with, which I think is somewhat accurate, which is kind of like Geraldo Rivera and Al Capone's vault. Like we were really waiting for something new, something like really. The first thing that I learned was that they had this is the porn star Stephanie Clifford, who goes by Stormy Daniels, mm-hmm. and in 2006 they evidently they had sex once.
Right.
And I thought they had an affair. That was my understanding. I guess the affair was with the playmate or something. But
Karen McDougal.
But I thought that this was a much longer relationship. And apparently it was like one kind of...
One sexual encounter, but then
but
other
they
meetings.
Still saw each
yeah.
other.
Yeah, but yeah. Only one sexual encounter, and then apparently there was another time they got together, and he wanted more. He wanted to watch Shark Week with her or something like
of
that.
Of course,
they were watching Shark, as you do.
You got a porn star.
Nothing. No, as my experience when I was single, watching shark videos with the ladies always worked.
Yep.
But well, you get scared, and then they grab onto you.
Yeah.
Wendy, you're onto us. You were totally onto us. So I didn't. There was nothing new about that. And
right.
then the thing that everyone had been teased about was that her attorney had been showing this DVD saying, you know, if a picture is worth 1,000 words, what is this worth?
Yeah.
And then she wouldn't talk about what was on the DVD or the CD-ROM or whatever it is. That there's evidently some documentary evidence of this encounter. And the thing that just doesn't add up to me. Then she said that she had been threatened, and this was hyped before the show that she had been threatened. But the threat came in 2011, I think, when she was doing an interview with In Touch magazine that ultimately was not published. So somebody had come, apparently some goon from the Trump Organization had come, and she said, you know, nice daughter there would hate to see anything happen to her mother, or something, mm-hmm. something like out of the movies. Mm-hmm. Like it really didn't sound, almost didn't sound real. But I don't understand why. I mean, Trump is kind of legendary, you know, philanderer. Why would he, with this one woman in 2011, why would he be sending the goons after? That doesn't kind of add up to me. And it could have happened, but it just doesn't make sense.
You could almost see it. What they're saying is that this confidentiality agreement was signed just short of the election, right?
The confidentiality agreement, and
right?
And that's
you could see him send. You could see the potential to send a guy out
at that point,
right?
At that point, that's when I thought it was because you know there's a lot of rumor floating around here about what was going to be revealed on the show, which is why everyone was watching.
Right.
I don't know what their overnight ratings were, but I'm guessing they were quite good.
Yeah,
and so. You know, I'm waiting. It's like, okay, when's she going to say? And then here is the, you know, the sext that he sent me, or here is the
yeah.
photograph that he sent me of his genitalia or something. You know, something that you go like, oh my goodness, this really changes the game. I didn't hear anything new last night about this.
Right.
There is the possibility that this, or sounds like it's very likely that this $130,000 payment that Trump's lawyer made to her as part of this confidentiality agreement, that payment violated campaign finance laws. So but that's
because
not,
the money could have come directly from the campaign itself.
It was an in-kind contribution to the campaign.
Right.
It was money given to advance the campaign.
Right.
And so that strikes me as possible, but you know, you're not going to kick a president out of office for a campaign finance violation like that.
Right.
Even if he helped orchestrate it, even you know, it's not presidency ending.
It's not enough.
Yeah. So I that's why I thought that the analogy to the Al Capone's vault was like we opened it up and there was not much there.
An old bottle.
That's all you get.
And it was, you know, there was a little bit of detail that, you know, that
the threat made me uncomfortable.
The threat was very uncomfortable, but it was kind of like out of the movies. It almost didn't sound real.
Right.
It'd be a shame if something happened to a little mother, you know.
Nice
it'd be a shame.
Nice little shop you got there.
Yeah.
Were you the guy that said that?
Yeah, it was me. Exactly. Did it.
He's a movie actor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He does it really well.
What about the argument people keep saying, basically, America doesn't care. Whatever he did, let's say they slept together, America doesn't care.
That's
Do you believe
thing.
That or
I,
not believe
I
that?
I totally believe that. I totally believe that this was baked into the price of Donald Trump was that he was not a man who was faithful to his many wives.
I don't care about that at all. Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I really don't.
There's other stuff
I care more about.
Yeah. You know, in the post-Clinton era, I think that kind of thing, even among evangelical Christians, I think their relationship with him is very transactional. He will be president, and he will appoint conservative anti-abortion judges,
yep.
and one of them said, we'll give him a mulligan. We'll let him... And, you know, who knows if he's spent that mulligan already or not.
Isn't a mulligan just one do-over?
It is normally one.
It depends on who you play with. Sometimes, if your friends are generous, they'll give you a couple. But, you know, and I think the evangelicals are being very generous to the
And
president.
Then Trump said, I want to meet this Miss
but
Mulligan.
See,
Where
think,
is she? Bring her in.
An Irish. Sounds like an Irish.
Yeah, let's bring her in.
So, you know, it's one of the things where I feel like there's just nothing there that's going to change the conversation.
I don't know that it will.
Now, if they... If, if there had been some photos, maybe some sex that might, but even still, I don't know
that that matters either. Because remember when the Russian tape was mentioned of him?
Yes, yes. Allegedly, yes, right.
Right, right. So everybody said, boy, when we see this thing, it's all over. And I went, I don't think so.
No, just ask
I
for think people mulligan.
Right.
Yeah, no, yeah. Right. So when you have this situation where, and I don't want to be, so, I mean, when this all happened with Bill Clinton and he lied under oath about Monica Lewinsky, at the time I said, okay, well, he lied about the private sexual encounter. I'm not ready to end his presidency over it. I didn't think it was a great thing that he did, but I'm not ready to storm the White House and run him out on a raft or something like that. So
a rail,
yeah, tar and feather him. So if I'm going to feel that way about something, I mean, Bill Clinton, he lied under oath. That's crime.
Yeah.
If Donald Trump violated campaign finance laws to cover up an affair he had in 2006, or actually a one night stand now. I can't in good conscience and consistency be, you know, all indignant about
right.
that, where I wasn't that indignant about Bill Clinton. So, I mean, they're both wrong, but I can't say, well, this changes everything.
It doesn't change anything.
Yeah, well, there you go. There's one.
I'm not sure if you guys are aware of this, but Jimmy Carter said something interesting about Donald Trump over the weekend. I want to get your take on that. Are you
what
up on this?
Say?
Do you know this? All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll mention what Jimmy Carter's take is.
Can you do
Donald
it in a Jimmy
Trump.
Carter voice? Because you're so good at those impressions.
I could. I have Trump in my heart.
Celebrity voice impersonated.
Mary's son has peanut allergies, and my impression of Jimmy Carter is so good that it would send him into shock. I don't want to do that. All right, more after this. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder, along with Eric Zorn on WGN. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. So as I mentioned earlier, Jimmy Carter shows up on CBS's Sunday Morning. It's on Sunday mornings. Good time for it.
That's a good time. Yeah, because when it was on Saturdays, it was very
nobody watched
confusing.
It. They didn't know when it was on. So they asked him, Jimmy Carter, what his thoughts were about Donald Trump. And here's a quote that I found very interesting. My own preference would be that he not be impeached, but that he be able to serve out his term, because I think he wants to do a good job, said Jimmy Carter. And I'm willing to help him if I can help him and give him the benefit of the doubt. He then volunteered. He said he would go to North Korea if called upon. Jimmy Carter would. You know, he's done some ambassador work in the past, which would be interesting. I don't think Donald Trump is interested in sending Jimmy Carter out there. He sort of wants to do this on his own. But interesting that Jimmy Carter would not want him.
It's more proof that Jimmy Carter's a better person than I am. You
yeah.
know?
He always has been.
Yeah.
Always will be.
That song that you play for me at the beginning was originally about him.
Yep.
I had the words changed.
Because
I'm just that way.
Yep.
No, it's, you know, when Trump was inaugurated, or when he was elected, I should say, I was willing to give him, you know, some benefit of the doubt. I was willing to say, okay, well, he campaigned like a narcissistic moron, but maybe he will, you know, he said he can transition and be presidential, and maybe he will.
And we saw glimpses of that.
And we saw some glimpses of that, but not enough. And I would think at this point, Jimmy Carter is being overly generous, giving him the benefit of the doubt. In my view, I think that he has really degraded the presidency and has done a lot of things that are very, very frightening. The most recent one being the new Secretary of, not Secretary of Defense, National Security Advisor, Bolton. And, I think these things are very frightening, and I don't see why we would necessarily think, well, he's only been doing this for 15 months now or 16 months.
Yeah.
We should keep giving him the benefit of the doubt. I think he has squandered that benefit, in my view. So, and the other thing is, I think you're correct that Trump would not want to give Carter any chance to claim any credit, that he wouldn't want to send Carter over to talk to Kim Jong-un, and then all of a sudden they'd come to some agreement and everyone go, Jimmy Carter's a great guy. Trump wants all the credit for himself.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good for Jimmy Carter for saying that and for trying to strike a tone that might appeal to Trump. But
yeah.
I don't think the idea of him being able to claim any credit would go sit well with Trump.
There was some criticism over the weekend because Donald Trump didn't make an appearance at any of these marches. the criticism for me, I didn't expect him to show up at any of the marches, but he didn't even acknowledge them. There was no statement from him whatsoever about those marches, not even the obligatory. A lot of times you'll see a president saying, I think it's great that young people are out there getting their voices heard. There wasn't even that.
Yes, my inauguration was bigger crowds.
You say something like, it's always good to see Americans using their First Amendment rights and so on. Yeah, nothing like that. And he shipped off to Mar-a-Lago to play golf instead of being in town.
And weren't there some protesters kind of around where he was going?
There usually are some on the road into Mar-a-Lago. But I wouldn't have expected him to appear at an event like that.
Right.
I mean, that would just be crazy. People would have booed him, and it wouldn't. And he has nothing to say to them anyway. He hasn't. The things that he said right after, what happened at Parkland had been taken back. Basically, he hasn't really followed through on any of that stuff. So, but those protests were very moving, and I got to say, I'm surprised. We've had a conversation even on this show about how every time these things happen, there's this big flurry of things must change. We're going to do something about it. And then a week later, we've moved on to some, Kardashian scandal.
This one did not fizzle.
This one has not fizzled yet. And there's another.
It's picking up steam.
There's another protest scheduled for April 20th, I think. and students came out. I extremely impressed by, first of all, the poise of the student speakers, but also the size of the crowds are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some real commitment here, and people really are agitating for change, and I think that there are some things that the vast majority of Americans agree on, making it more difficult for certain people to get guns while still allowing responsible gun owners to own guns.
And right.
I think there is some middle ground there. This is a debate where I feel like if you can push that compromise idea, the idea, people like Marco Rubio are sort of saying like, well, they're trying to take all our guns away. I'm not hearing that. I'm really not hearing that even from these students who are young and very, very idealistic. I'm hearing this call for compromise, like extended background checks, this idea that we must make sure that the people who own guns own them responsibly and use them responsibly. And I don't think that's an unreasonable position. And you look at the polls that are taken on this, and an overwhelming number of Americans agree with that.
I know.
So what's the problem, and why do people keep criticizing these kids for doing what we should have done?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's part of it is that the NRA fights against every little incremental move because they're afraid that somehow we're gonna take everything's gonna be taken away from
right.
There's Steve Bertram.
Steve Bertram's got a show coming up right after us.
Well, lucky for listeners.
Yeah, he's got the Wintrust Business Lunch. Wow. Eric, thank you very much for being here. It's Eric Zorn. Read him in the Chicago Tribune. We'll find out what Steve has to say next. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.